Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Hey, Mr. Sban, how are you?
I'm very well, sir. How are you, sir?
Very well, thank you. Good to talk to you, man. It's been a minute.
It has been a minute. It has been a minute.
I hope you've been fine.
Happy to be back.
Great to hear that. We're talking about patent laws this afternoon with you. And, you know, once one has received or developed an invention, it is time to patent that invention. However, patenting process can be time-consuming and also a bit complicated if you are a first-timer. So you've got to be helping us to get to understand exactly what is this. I think it's quite important. So if you are listening and joining us, please sit up and tune up that volume so that you can actually hear what Mr. Sbanda here is going to be saying to us. First off, Mr. Sbanda, what is a patent?
Thank you very much, Zama, and thank you very much for the listeners as well. A patent is an exclusive right which is granted to an invention. So what one does is they make an application in terms of the Patent Act, to the commissioner for them to be granted a patent over a particular invention. Now, a patent, Zama, provides the inventor with a legal protection, some form of legal protection. Once that protection is granted, no one else can claim the invention as their own. No one can make use of it. No one can manufacture, no one can sell the product or import the product without the permission of the patent holder. Now, this protection is usually valid for a period of about 20 years. Obviously, it is subject to renewal fees with the commission. Patent law is a sub-branch of the intellectual property law, which is a broader branch, and it deals specifically with inventions. Now, the question then becomes, what is an invention? An invention is a product or process that provides a new way of doing things. Or it offers a new technical solution to problems that surpass the trivial solutions to particular products, the day-to-day solutions to particular products. Now, one would also want to know, what is it that I can patent? You know, what sort of inventions, what sort of ideas can I patent? Now, for something in terms of the patent laws of South Africa to be considered an invention, it must include an inventive step.
I see.
The invention must be something that can be applied to or used, for instance, in agriculture, in trade, and in industry. One cannot say, you know, that they've invented an abstract invention, something that a pie in the sky type of invention, or an idea, or a non-technical idea, obviously. The invention needs to be something that is useful, right? And one does not need a prototype or a model to prove that that particular invention works. So those are the things that one looks at. The requirements or the criteria that needs to be met for an invention to be patented, right? There are three important requirements that need to be met. One, it must be new. It must be a new invention. I'll take you to Section 25(1) of the Patent Act. Section 25(1) of the Patent Act reads as follows. It says, a patent must, subject to the provisions of this section, be patentable invention granted for a new invention which involves an inventive step and which is capable of being used or applied in trade or industry or agriculture. We need to dissect these three requirements. The first requirement is that of novelty, which is newness, right? The invention must be completely new. An invention can only be deemed to be new if it does not form part of the state of the art, which is immediately before the application for the patent, which is what is called the priority date of that particular invention. So what a patent lawyer would do generally is they would do a novelty search in trade magazines, online, through databases and newspapers all around the world to establish whether there have been any reports or any inventions that have been done prior to the granting of or the filing of the patent right application. Mm. Now, how then do we determine that something is new? To determine whether an invention is new, we must compare it with what is called the state of the art.
Okay.
As it exists at that particular time. The state of the art simply refers to the most recent stage in the development of a product, which incorporates new technology, ideas, and other features, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. If there is substantial difference between that product and what appears in the state of the art, then it can be regarded as a new invention. Mm-hmm. As long as there is a substantial difference, it must differ from anything else that exists in the state of the art. Mm-hmm. Where an invention cannot be regarded as new, it is said to be a common usage item, and it is said to have been anticipated. That's a term that they used. Mm. It is anticipated through lack of novelty. In other words, it is not new. It lacks novelty.
Mm.
Right.
Oh, okay.
State of the art is generally comprises all types of matter, whether it's a product, it's a process, it's information, or anything else which has been made available to the public, whether in South Africa or elsewhere. How can it be published? It can be published through oral, it can be published through written. As long as it is made public, then it forms part of the state of the art. It already exists. In other words, Zama, what just simple explanation. Mm-hmm. If I were to come up with an idea and I communicate that particular idea to you, mm. And I don't give you any sort of restriction on your further communication of that particular product, it ceases to be new.
Mm.
It is only new when it exists in my head, or it is only new when it exists within the confines of my knowledge. Okay. Once I've communicated it to a third party or anybody else, it ceases to be new.
Mm.
Now, we spoke about the fact that it has been made available to the public. What does being made available to the public mean?
Yeah.
We look at case law. The case of Fomento South Africa versus Mentmore Manufacturing. Here the court held that the public, in this case, the public has been given possession of an invention which destroys its novelty.
Mm.
Whether knowledge about it has been communicated to any member of the society, then the novelty is destroyed. Now, I'll take you to another case in Bristol-Myers. It was held that the communication of the invention with a single member of the public, without the communicator placing some inhibiting fetter on the member of the public about the publication of this information, mm-hmm. is sufficient to make the invention available to the public. Can you see how stringent the idea of novelty is?
Mm-hmm.
Now, who is the public?
Yeah.
Section 25.6 says Section 25.6 does not really provide a restrictive interpretation of who is the public, and it does not refer to the fact that the public should be a South African public. It can be any public in anywhere in the world, right? The second aspect of the issue of, or the second requirement is inventiveness, right? We said it must consist of an inventive step. Now, inventiveness simply means that it must not be obvious to someone who is skilled in that specific subject area. So in the field of science, if something is obvious to anybody that can sort of develop that type of invention, then it ceases to be inventive. It's not inventive. Inventing something that cannot be used also in commerce is not inventive. It must be useful, right? So if it cannot be used in medicine, it cannot be used in commerce, it cannot be used in agriculture, therefore it is not a patentable idea. The test for inventiveness is qualitative.
Okay.
So basically, the Act does not require a particular measurable degree of inventiveness.
Okay.
Nor does it require a measurable degree of skill. As long as the invention is regarded as not obvious, it amounts to an inventive invention. The question is simply whether, when operated or performed in accordance with the inventor's instructions, it fulfills the purpose of the inventor.
I see.
The third aspect, Zama, is usefulness, or what we call utility.
Yes.
The fact that an invention is a commercial success is often an indicator that that particular invention is useful. It must be effective in producing the results that it aims at producing. So if it is successful commercially, it means that it is useful. It can be used by the public. There are obviously some exclusions that are contained in Section 25(2) of the Patent Act, right? The Patent Act excludes any discovery, any scientific theory, a mathematical method, a literary, dramatic, musical, artistic work, or any aesthetic creation, a scheme, rule, or method for performing a mental act, playing a game, or doing business, a program for a computer, or the presentation of information.
Okay.
These are not considered as inventions that cannot be patented in, this is in the South African context.
Yes, yes.
Right. Obviously, this section has not been under quite a lot of litigation in this case to determine if there's clear precedent of, why certain aspects of it can be excluded, because you will realize that in other jurisdictions such as the US or Europe, computer programs, for instance, can be patentable.
True.
Right. So now, because in South Africa we have not taken this particular portion of the Patent Act for scrutiny in terms of litigation, what we then do is we can provide what is called a provisional patent for that particular product, which is valid for about 12 months. Right. Then there's other inventions, for instance, which will not be granted the status of an invention. For instance, if it is likely to encourage offensive or immoral behavior, it cannot be protected as a patent. Also, inventions which are frivolous or contrary to the known laws of nature, such as perpetual motion machines and things like that, this may not be patentable. Inventions also relating to methods of treatment, therapy, or diagnosis to be performed on human or animals or animal bodies are also not considered patentable. However, compounds or compositions for the use in such methods, for instance, types of medicines that can be used in, can be sort of patented. So this is quite interesting, Zama.
Very
patents
interesting.
Cannot be granted for products of biological processes which are not essentially microbiological in their nature. Right. So these are the exclusions that we talk about when we're talking about the exclusions to the patent law. Now, one may say, I want to make an application for a patent. How do I go about making an application for a patent? Right. One must also consider that the most common dispute that arises is usually between employer and employee in respect of inventions that are made by employees, because the employer provides, it generally provides the technical know-how, the equipment, and so on and so forth. And usually the employer would want to invoke the clauses in the Patent Act, which expressly provide that the invention made by an employee in certain circumstances, and this is very essential, the fact that it is in certain circumstances, it belongs to the employer. So any product of work which an employee is paid to do belongs to the employer. And it reminds me of one particular case, which is the Nkosana Makate case, of the Please Call Me case. Right, where the employer, which is Vodacom, was, basically came out and said, no, look, this could not be your invention because it was created or invented during the course and scope of your employment with Vodacom. So we've seen it's been a long drawn out litigation between Nkosana Makate and Vodacom in determining obviously ownership, and now ownership has been determined, but it is the quantum of what he must be paid in lieu of royalties for his invention. So what type of information would one need for, in order to make an application for a patent? One, you need to provide details regarding the circumstances under which the invention was made.
Okay.
You need to provide the subject matter of the invention, the date and time when the work on the invention was completed, proof of the type of work that was carried out, and who was involved in the work. For instance, if employees or there were independent contractors that were involved, you must give details, Why is this work regarded as significant? And that is also essential. You must provide those types of details. You also provide the background and knowledge of this field. Which aspects of the invention are regarded as something completely new? Have the details of the invention been kept confidential, or where they have been made public? To whom have they been made public? And how does this particular invention work? How could it be illustrated? For which part of the invention may exclusive rights be claimed? And then finally, you need to also find out if in which geographical location you wish to exploit the invention.
Wow. Man, Cindy, so yeah, it's a definite mouthful, man, and a very, very important topic, I must say, especially those who are in the business of coming up with new things and stuff like that. Extremely, extremely, extremely important. I must say thank you so much, my brother, for joining us this afternoon. I wish you a fantastic one further.
Thank you so much, Sam. Thank you to your listeners as well.
Lovely. Thank you so much. Be blessed.
Bye-bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.